Dinner was over, and Denniston was in his bedroom, shut up alone with his acquisition. The landlady had manifested a particular interest in him since he had told her that he had paid a visit to the sacristan and bought an old book from him. He thought, too, that he had heard a hurried dialogue between her and the said sacristan in the passage outside the salle à manger, some words to the effect that Pierre and Bertrand would be sleeping in the house, had closed the conversation. At this time, a growing feeling of discomfort had been creeping over him. Nervous reaction, perhaps, after the delight of his discovery. Whatever it was, it resulted in a conviction that there was someone behind him, and that he was far more comfortable with his back to the wall. All this, of course, weighed light in the balance as against the obvious value of the collection he had acquired, and now, as I said, he was alone in his bedroom, taking stock of Canon Albrecht's treasures, in which every moment revealed something more charming. "Bless Canon Albrecht," said Denniston, who had an inveterate habit of talking to himself. "I wonder where he is now. Dear me, I wish that landlady would lend a laugh in a more cheering manner. It makes one feel as if there's someone dead in the house. Half a pipe more, did you say? I think perhaps you're right. I wonder what that crucifix is that the young woman insisted on giving me. Last century, I suppose? Yes, probably. It's rather a nuisance of a thing to have round one's neck. Just too heavy. Most likely her father had been wearing it for years. Think might give it to clean up before I put it away." He had taken the crucifix off and laid it on the table, when his attention was suddenly caught by an object lying on the red cloth just by his left elbow. Two or three ideas of what it might be flitted through his brain with their own incalculable quickness. A pen wiper? No such thing in the house. A rat? No, too black. A large spider? Trust to goodness not. No. Good God! A hand like the hand in that picture! In another infinitesimal flash he had taken it in, pale, dusky skin, covering nothing but bones and tendons of appalling strength, coarse black hairs, longer than ever grew on a human hand, nails rising from the end of the fingers and curving sharply down and forward, gray, horny, and wrinkled. He flew out of his chair with deadly, inconceivable terror clutching at his heart. The shape, whose left hand rested on the table, was rising to a standing posture behind his seat, its right hand crooked above his scalp. There was black and tattered drapery about it. The coarse hair covered it, as in the drawing. The lower jaw was thin, what can I call it, shallow, like a beast's. Teeth showed behind the black lips. There was no nose, the eyes of a fiery yellow, against which the pupils showed black and intense, and the exulting hate and thirst to destroy life which shone there were the most horrifying feature of the whole vision. There was a kind of intelligence in them, intelligence beyond that of a beast, below that of a man. The feelings which this horror stirred in Denniston were the intensest physical fear and the most profound mental loathing. What did he do? What could he do? He has never been quite certain what words he said, but he knows that he spoke, that he grasped blindly at the silver crucifix, and that he was conscious of a movement toward him on the part of the demon, and that he screamed with the voice of an animal in hideous pain. Pierre and Bertrand, the two sturdy little serving men who rushed in, saw nothing, but felt themselves thrust aside by something that passed out between them, and found Denniston in a swoon. They sat up with him that night, and his two friends were in St. Bertrand's by 9 o'clock the next morning. He himself, though still shaken and nervous, was almost himself by that time, and his story found credence with them, though not until they had seen the drawing and talked with the sacristan. Almost at dawn the little man had come to the inn on some pretense, and had listened with the deepest interest to the story related by the landlady. He showed no surprise.
It is he, I had seen him myself,
was his only comment. And to all questionings but one reply was vouchsafed.
I have seen him twice, I felt him 1,000 times.
He would tell them nothing of the provenance of the book, nor any details of his experiences.
I shall soon sleep, and my rest will be sweet. Why should you trouble me?
He said. He died that summer. His daughter married and settled at Saint-Papou. She never understood the circumstances of her father's obsession. We shall never know what he or Canon Albrecht de Molien suffered. At the back of that fateful drawing were some lines of writing which may be supposed to throw light on the situation. The dispute of Solomon with a demon of the night, drawn by Albrecht de Molien. O God, make speed to help me. Whoso dwells in the shelter of the Most High shall remain in the shadow of the Almighty. Saint Bertrand, who puts devils to flight, pray for me, most unhappy. I saw it first on the night of December 12, 1694. Soon I shall see it for the last time. I have sinned and I have suffered and have more to suffer yet. December 29, 1701. I have never quite understood what was Denniston's view of the events I have narrated. He quoted to me once a text from Ecclesiasticus. Some spirits there be that are created for vengeance, and in their fury lay on sore strokes. On another occasion he said, Isaiah was a very sensible man. Doesn't he say something about night monsters living in the ruins of Babylon? These things are rather beyond us at present. Another confidence of his impressed me rather, and I sympathized with it. We had been last year to Comminges to see Canon Albrecht's tomb. It is a great marble erection with an effigy of the canon in a large wig and soutane, and an elaborate eulogy of his learning below. I saw Denniston talking for some time to the vicar of St. Bertrand's, and as we drove away, he said to me, I hope it isn't wrong. You know I am a Presbyterian, but I believe there will be a saying of mass and singing of dirges for Albrecht de Molien's rest. Then he added, with a touch of the northern British in his tone, I had no notion they came so dear. The book is in the Wentworth collection at Cambridge. The drawing was photographed and then burnt by Denniston on the day when he left Comminges on the occasion of his first visit.